Let's talk about Jesus. He's everything to me. The Lord of Lords is He, through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Father, thank you and praise you that we can meet on a Sunday afternoon and rejoice in your word together. Pray you touch our Sunday afternoon Bible study. Cause again that your word would be quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Divide the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, that we could hear from heaven, even in our Bible study time done online here. We'll thank you and praise you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm Pastor Rice. We're meeting for a Good Samaritan Baptist Church evening Bible study. My office, with storm clouds moved in, my office was kind of dark and gloomy. So I said, that's it. I'm going to see if we can't take this out on the front porch of our mansion. And so here I am. This is not going to be as dramatic as Brother Dave Johnson does our adult Sunday school class all over upstate New York and Pennsylvania. But I thought it'd be good to just go ahead and be outside tonight and looking at the nine blessed R's that we have been looking at. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew and chapter 5, and we'll continue on with this series on the nine blessed R's that we started. Matthew chapter 5, and as we're looking here and moving on again, we've gone through the first three and started on the second three that has to do with the heart change in man that God alone can produce. And they start there in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 5, where it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And those are the ones that we covered last week. See, professional audio. So, I don't know what that is. There, it's gone. So verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We had a good time looking at that last week. This week, we want to pick up the next blessed are, which is this: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And so let's go ahead and look at some Bible verses here about the merciful, and they shall obtain mercy. So here, as you consider the slides, the next three blessed R's in Jesus' introduction to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew is they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, then blessed are the merciful, and finally, blessed are the pure in heart. And so we've looked at those as things that God changes in our heart after we have come to Him, first off with a broken spirit or poor in spirit, with a broken and a contrite heart, the Bible says, with mourning again, and we equated that to some repentance. And then for the meek again, and the promises that were given with them. And so our approach to God is reflected in those three. And once we're successful in our approach to God, especially in the age of grace that we're in, God causes again that we now also have an effect on our heart. First off, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And then today we want to look at the merciful. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We looked at that it's something that God has has to change one's heart in order to have them hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one, the Bible says. And so once we have a change of in our heart, there can be a seeking after God. And so it is here with this, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, just as those that hunger and thirst had a new nature installed in them before they can themselves find that hunger and thirst. So do being merciful is something that needs a change in our heart so that we could be merciful. When Christ indwells us, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so here, notice again that this is taught by Jesus in two powerful illustrations given here in the Word of God. First off is given in the Sermon on the Mount and found in Matthew chapter 6. So if you just flip over a page in your Bible to Matthew and chapter 6, there is there what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. I believe the Lord's Prayer is actually recorded in John 17. That's the prayer that the Lord prayed. This here would be a model prayer that Jesus prayed, and lots of people recite this religiously and consider that, again, it is more than just a model prayer, but this is a model prayer that's given by Christ. And I want us to know that here on the last verse, I think it's verse 13, it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I like to say that before that amen finished echoing across the valley there as he's speaking on this mountain, in the introduction of his ministry, the next verse says this, for so before that amen is done echoing, Jesus begins his next sentence, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so notice again the emphasis on that again is that we've been forgiven much, and consequently we need to forgive much. And so that indeed is what this merciful is all about, is to show mercy to others. Now remember, mercy, I think I have this in here later, mercy is not getting what you deserve. There's a lot of people standing up and demanding their rights right now. Before a Christian does that, I'd encourage you to recognize that you want to be careful demanding that you get what you deserve. Mercy is God does not give us what we deserve. Grace is where he again gives us unmerited favor, but mercy is where we don't get what we deserve. And we are condemned already, and that's why we need his mercy, even in our approach to him. And once we have tasted of his mercy, we want to be careful and make sure that we forgive others that trespass against us. Now there's another parable given in Matthew 18, and it's given by a question that Peter comes to the Lord with in Matthew chapter 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Peter, when he said that, I'm sure he was thinking that, wow, God would be impressed again with his forgiving attitude, that he would forgive seven times. But look what Jesus responds to him here in Matthew chapter 18. And in verse 23, it says, or 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And notice the emphasis here. Seven is that whole or complete number, and 70 then is a 7 times 10, And now it's the complete times 10 times the completeness gives again a principle here, not an exact count, but a principle that's given here. I like that. And so look at verse 24. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain man which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And this fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. And so blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy. Those that are not merciful are going to not find mercy, even as in the illustration that's given here. And so the importance, again, of our having a forgiving attitude. I've got several lessons that I teach on the forgiveness of others. The idea that, boy, we can hold a grudge against somebody and not forgive somebody for something they said. Sometimes they don't even know they said something. Or we can hold a grudge and be bitter against someone who's violated us in some way. Perhaps it was very real, very illegal, very hurtful. But again, notice that when we will not forgive, the hurt comes back on us. It's our bitter heart that's hardened and turned away from God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Psalms 136, in the King James Authorized, but not in any modernist ecumenical Bible, we find this chapter epitomizes the fifth blessed are. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm not going to read all 26 verses, but let's look at it. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 126. And anyone that might be listening with a modernist Bible, I want you to especially to turn there and look at this Psalm. Psalm 136 in your Bible. And Beverly and I read through the Psalms about, I think, three times a year. We read it on a reading schedule, and then we read a psalm a day, every day for 6 months, Psalm and Proverb a day, and then we read it again the second time through for the next 180 days of every year. And we always enjoyed reading this psalm. And so look with me again at Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Watch. for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, and listen, if your Bible doesn't say for his mercy endureth forever, you got a modernist ecumenical Bible, and you need to get one that reflects what God said, and we'll look at that here in a moment. Verse 2, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. On down through all the history of Israel, in the next 22 verses, there's given that phrase, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, last verse, for his mercy endureth forever. If I'm not mistaken, you'd get the intention in that psalm that God wants us to learn that his mercy endureth forever. Turn back to Psalm 103. And another tremendous psalm out of a King James Bible, but not out of any modernist ecumenical Bible, is found in Psalm 103. And let's just look at the first 12 verses. And we're watching for this idea of forgiveness or having mercy, not giving someone what they deserve, but having a forgiveness and an attitude of forgiveness to them. Psalm 103 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth, I don't know if I got all them verses up there. The Lord executeth righteousness, verse 6, and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Let me say that again. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. That's verse 10. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And so again, God's mercy towards us is emphasized here in the Psalms. It's emphasized in the scriptures over and over that we do not get what we deserve. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next verse, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And so our whole salvation is about nothing more than God's mercy. And we're already condemned. We're already deserving of punishment. And yet God says that his mercy is shown to us. And all we have to do to get his mercy is call upon him, not believe on him. I try to emphasize that in church this morning, that for by grace are you saved through faith. And so it isn't just our belief in him, but it's his mercy that's bestowed upon us because of his grace. And so again, that study of mercy is important. Let's do a quick Bible lesson here, if we could. about mercy in the Hebrew Bible, and especially with the Strong's. If you got a Strong's Concordance, I like the Strong's Concordance. It's got a number for every Hebrew word that's used in the Bible, and you can, you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar, but you can look up words and see how they're used in several different places. And so notice here, the Hebrew word 2617 is called chesed, and it's translated here. Notice 149 times it's translated mercy. Sometimes it's translated kindness, sometimes loving kindness, sometimes goodness, kindly, merciful, and favor. And so there's all these other times that is translated, and the 248 times that that particular word shows up in your Bible, you can look up this and find a list of every time that word is used and how it was translated by a King James translator. Now, you can't do that for the modernist ecumenical Bibles. They didn't put a resource together like Strong did, and that was James Strong, not Augustus Strong. So James Strong, literal genius, again, who put together the Strong's Concordance. So when the Hebrew word chesed is used for what man might show, it is translated kindness. Pay attention. When it is translated for what God shows, it is translated mercy. That is, except in the modernist ecumenical copyright mongering translations, they eliminate God's mercy through the entire Old Testament. And so I said, if you read Psalms 136 in an ESV, they don't have anything about God's mercy. They say his steadfast love endureth forever. Again, consistently throughout the King James Authorized Bible, chesed is kindness when shown by man, and chesed is mercy when shown by God. Check it out in the Pentateuch, and there I have, again, a list of all the times that word shows up in the first five books of the Bible. And notice again in 19:19, it talks about God's mercy. It's translated mercy in Genesis 20 and 13. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, as is Abraham speaking about his wife, this is thy kindness. And again, that Hebrew word chesed is used there, which thou shalt show me. And so here, notice again, it has to do with man, or particularly Sarah was going to show him this kindness, and it's not translated a mercy. It's translated a mercy when God shows it, and this kindness. And so I put down in our Bible study there, all of them, all the way through all of the Pentateuch, the different ways it's translated. And you can see right in there that all the times that it talks about what God has towards us, it is mercy. And this precedent that when God shows chesed in the Holy Bible, Authorized Version, it is mercy. And when man shows chesed in the Holy Bible, Authorized Version, it is kindness. Again, not so in modernist ecumenical copyright mongering Bibles. In the Old Testament, they stripped God of all mercy. Note particularly Psalms 136, all 26 verses were stripped of God's mercy. I have here an NIV study Bible that was given to me. Again, when you look up Psalm 136, you find out again that they never reference God's mercy. Instead, it begins, give thanks to God, to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Last verse, give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Mercy stripped right out of the NIV Bible and not anywhere in there. Same thing for Psalm 103. I have here an ESV. Someone sent me a ESV MacArthur Study Bible. And again, John MacArthur started using this abomination, calling it Bible. And yet in Psalm 136 and Psalm 103 both, they strip away God's mercy. And here they always translate it steadfast love. They couldn't use love as used in the NIV because that was already a copyright version. And so they had to get another copyright And so they added this word, while we translated this word, steadfast love. And all through it, you'll find it translated as steadfast love. And then Psalm 103 again. So notice these modernist ecumenical Bibles plagiarize. Not plagiarize, that's the wrong word. They certainly don't do that. They go for a copyright and they have to change 60,000 significant deviations for every copyright of the Bible. Bible-believing, uncompromising Baptists will not use an NIV or an ESV in their Bible study, holding instead to the complete and accurate authorized King James Bible. The NIV is a registered trademark of the New York Bible Society. The ESV is a registered trademark, and they own the words. Don't make any mistake. Those are not God's words. They own the words in that book by MacArthur Study Bible, and they tell you that very succinctly, that these are our words, not God's words. So in the NIV, notice again, it has the verse. I put it here on the screen. Look again at Psalms 103:8, and his gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. But in the NIV, it says the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. So great is his love. So mercy, again, completely stripped out of there. In order to get their copyright again, the ESV called it steadfast love. Now, I went to a Gideon's pastor appreciation dinner. The Gideon's no longer put out King James Bibles. They put out every version, I guess, that there is, and they've just now switched to the ESV. They promised when they left the King James that we're only going to use the new King James, which is not new, and it's not King James. That only lasted for 1 year. Now they're off producing modernist ecumenical Bibles. Be careful of these things. So anyway, I went to this dinner, and there someone read some of Psalm 136 out of their Bible, and I was just appalled. I was beside myself. I was vocal. I was not polite. And at that dinner again, I was approached afterwards again, someone who tried to calm the situation and say, oh, you shouldn't be so upset. God's steadfast love does last forever. And so we're not putting out anything that isn't true. And I'll agree with you that God's steadfast love does last forever, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says his mercy over and over and over again. And that's what they stripped out of the Bible. So these guys aren't going to change again. I've only met one Baptist preacher who's come back to a King James stance after they've gone and wandered around into compromise of the scriptures. And so be mindful. Be a student of the King James Bible. It gives you what God said, where the modernist ecumenical give what they think God meant to say, so it'll be compatible with all of the economical or ecumenical movements of the day. We just heard a four-point message from evangelist Don Hardman last Friday night. I guess it was a different night. We went all week. But anyway, he's talked about how to take a stand and not compromise when, again, there's compromise all the way around us. And he gave these 4 points that are on the screen. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Number two, separate from, you can't hobnob with modernists and maintain a purity of God's word. And then recognize we're in a spiritual warfare. The example he gave was Nancy Pelosi. That's not Nancy Pelosi saying those stupid things. That's not Chuck Schumer saying those stupid things. That is, again, the spirit that's within them that's controlled. And so recognize, again, that we fight not against flesh and blood. There is a spirit of compromise that's involved in these people who take a compromised Bible. And we're to love people, but hate compromise. And then it says in Ephesians 6, above all, take a stand, and above all, stand. So we looked again at the nine blessed R's we're considering. We looked at the attitude necessary for approaching God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are they are the meek. And then we looked at the results. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall be comforted, and they shall inherit the earth. We spent time considering those who err, building a work salvation out of this list of nine blessed are. That's not its purpose. We looked at those that deny the dispensations and suppose that there is a Catholic church replaces Israel. That's not the truth. There are dispensations taught in the Bible. And then we looked a little bit at hyper-dispensationalists who say that there's a Jewish church and a Gentile church. There's lots of error. There's lots of false teachings and false teachers out there. We do want to point out that Matthew that we're looking at here, in Matthew 5, the introduction to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the book of Matthew is literally the first book in the New Testament. It's the first gospel that was written. And it shows a transition where the kingdom of heaven is offered to the Jews and rejected, but there is a kingdom age coming. And so Matthew is a transitional book, but again, understand that it is truth and applicable to our day and age. And you need a dispensational understanding of scriptures to rightly divide the word of truth, even in the book of Matthew. We are now considering the miraculous work that is done in the heart of a Christian. Heart repair, we call this, God's work in a believer's heart. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And then today we looked a little bit at blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so I trust, again, that you're not holding a grudge. I trust, again, that you as a Christian have learned to be merciful to others, even to those that are on the political left and say some of the stupidest things that you could imagine. We need to have a heart that's filled with mercy. And so, and when we're that way, we obtain mercy. That's a promise that's given. Next week, we'll come back and we'll look at again, the blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And notice again, each of these are things that don't come in our nature. They're additions that come with a new nature, searching, hunger and thirst after righteousness, being merciful to others. And then, the pure in heart that we'll look at next week. And so I think that's all the slides we have. This is slide 11 of 11. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again that we could look at it for this short little time together. Pray your blessing on the study of your word. Thank you for these nine blessed R's. And may we again learn to use them to exemplify and lift up your son, and to rejoice in the so great salvation that he's given us. We'll praise you and thank you for your effect and your hand on each listener and on your words as we've looked at some mighty truths today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Lord bless you. Again, I'm sitting on my front porch here. Screen sharing has stopped. Okay, that's what I wanted. And so, boy, it's good to be here on the front porch on a Sunday afternoon. And the lake is filling up. Next week's Memorial Day weekend, it'll be packed. And so everyone's busy working their gardening and fixing everything up around here. It's just beautiful to be on Juanita Lake. Lord bless you for joining us in this Bible study from Good Samaritan Baptist Church today.